Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
There can be only one.
Let yourself feel the stack. Talk.
Man, there's so much.
Oh no!
So much!
Oh no! Hi everybody!
Hello everyone!
Welcome to Princes of the Universe!
Princes of the Universe!
Yeah!
My God!
The only Highlander podcast that's out there.
Yes. Yeah, I'm the only podcast about Highlander being made right now.
Yes, true. I'm one of your hosts, David Bell.
I'm another host, Tom Ryman.
We are well into this series.
We are fucking elbow deep into the series.
If you haven't, you should... I mean, you don't have to, but you could go back and listen to the other episodes. We had like a small... Not a hiatus. We just like... I think we had a couple... Like a month. There was the holidays and shit.
We've had like a month.
It feels like it's been a second.
It feels like... I think it's been 2 months, actually, since we did the last episode. Wow. So we're kind of behind on Highlander, but... We're wrapping it up.
We got
this episode and then one more episode after it, and that will be the end of Princes of the Universe.
It's true. And big thank you to James Rainey.
James Rainey.
Our Patreon producer who made this all happen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your patronage. Thank you for your patience.
Yes. And thank you especially for this movie specifically.
This movie is wild.
We are on... Currently, this is Highlander, The Source.
Yeah, which is the fifth Highlander movie, I want to say.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's the fifth one.
We have three sections for you this podcast. We have Whatlander, where we just describe what the film is.
Yes.
Whylander, where we dig into our own personal questions and observations about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Howlander, where we talk about how it was actually done behind the scenes.
Indeed.
So Tom, do you want to explain
my God
what the plot of this film is? Because I gotta tell you, I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll do my best. So this movie takes place following the last one, which I don't recall the name of. But
Endgame.
Okay, so Duncan MacLeod has killed Connor MacLeod and assumed his power and is now one of I don't even know if the few is correct, but he's just another immortal. And he has a whole team of immortals backing him up. And the world is like, it's like Blade Runner apocalypse right now.
Yeah, it's trash can fires and huddled masses.
Right. It's like the apocalypse that was in Highlander 2.
Yes, because, you know, you want to invoke Highlander 2 if you're going to do a Highlander movie.
This one had some serious Highlander 2 vibes.
Yes.
So... It's about, there's another guy, another immortal that's working with Duncan's group of immortals that is trying to find the mythical source, which is the source of all the immortals' power. We're not told what it will do, but we're just told that it will grant like some unimaginable and extremely desirable gift or power
right.
to the person who finds the source. This guy is killed by the Guardian, who is this gothed out Silent Hill protector of the source.
I'm so excited to talk about the Guardian.
The Guardian, when he opened his mouth and spoke, I was not expecting him to sound like the way he
shocking. That yeah. was shocking.
He's like a broed out Scottish dude.
He's like a wrestler, a pro wrestler.
Yes, he probably literally is a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
So the movie is about Duncan, who doesn't really believe in the source, his estranged wife, Anna.
Kate, I believe, is her name from the previous film.
Correct. A different woman.
I couldn't get the actress.
I assume this movie ties into the show a lot.
Well, I know that they just wanted Kate, and that actress was like, no. And so they're like, all right, let's invent a new character and pretend like they've always been in love.
Okay, that makes more sense. So she's getting visions about the source, and it's Duncan and his group of immortals, his group of immortal like handlers. Basically, there's like an agency that handles immortals, and they're also immortal. Which was confusing.
There's Hacker Sid Vicious. There's Cyber Priest.
The fucking Cyber Priest who looks like Wesker from the Resident Evil games.
Yeah.
What is up with his hair?
What is...
What is him?
I have so many questions.
So they have to travel across blasted out Eastern Europe because you can film there for very cheap.
Yes, this is true. In the woods. Mostly in the woods.
Mostly in the woods. To find the mythical source, which they stumble upon... Duncan makes the correct choice, tying it all back to Christopher Lambert, because we learned that the source is the test of the source is not about death but about life, which is what Christopher Lambert famously says about Mortal Kombat in the motion picture Mortal Kombat.
That's true.
He refuses to kill the Guardian, so the Guardian explodes into light, and Duncan is accepted into the source, which gives him the ability to have children.
He explodes into the light while screaming, "I'm cursed forever!"
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently the source is knocking up his girlfriend without asking her for that. Like, it's just... Yeah, and they go, "He is the one," about the baby. Does that do that to every Highlander? Like, if someone else showed up... Would it junior them?
I hope so, too. It inflates their stomach with instant baby.
Right. I guess we're already getting into Wylander here.
Yeah.
Good fucking God, this movie.
This movie...
I don't know where to begin. The film starts with an opening crawl, which I realized every single Highlander has.
Yes.
Because every single Highlander doesn't make any sense.
No. No.
And they have to begin it with this crawl. And they in this one, they like put little things next text when they introduce a character to tell us who they are and whether they're mortal or immortal.
Yes.
Which I guess I appreciated. Duncan is like Batman. He's
Duncan
just on rooftops.
Is extreme Batman, yes.
Yeah. And he's stopping like your classic 90s thugs who are like wearing leather jackets and wool caps and wielding knives and are rapists.
Yes.
And so he does that, and then we meet the villain. Do we want to just talk about the villain for 2 hours?
The Guardian? Yes, we should do a whole lot to discuss the Guardian. So the Guardian is introduced with this gorget. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. But it's basically the piece of armor that protects your throat, but his is so... over the top, and it's obvious, and it's like more of the immortals in this universe should invest in something like this. It keeps you from cutting his head off.
Yes, it also keeps him from... Well, it also keeps him from biting on, chewing on any wounds or stitches he has.
That's true. You know, it's like a big cone.
It is a big cone. I couldn't stop thinking about
Pyramid Head from Silent Hill.
He does, but with a smaller pyramid. He's wearing like S&M gear. And this pyramid cone, all I can think about is what happens when it rains.
Oh, yeah, he just drowns.
That's just going to throw right up.
And then he takes it off for some reason that is never explained and never puts it back on. It's like, no, dude, put the you can't cut my head off armor back on.
Right.
But he takes it off and then just looks like Scottish Kane for the rest of the rest of the movie.
He
just
moves,
looks like Isaac Yankem DDS from Scotland.
He moves like a Tool music video.
He does. They do this, and this is a real shame, but he has the power of the source, which makes him move like really fast, like Nightcrawler, but the way that they film it is to play these like rapid, it's not just accelerating the film speed, it's like they do these rapid motion blurred shots of him moving around, and it really takes away from... One of the things that we liked about the last movie so much was that Duncan MacLeod, the guy that plays him, is an actual like swordsman and martial artist, so he can like do cool shit.
Yes.
And in this movie, because they have to do that goofy hyperspeed power, Like, you never really get to see any cool sword fighting.
All the fighting is bad.
All the fighting is bad, because...
The part at the end where he starts spinning his blades like a helicopter.
Yep.
It was like, what is this?
There's glimpses of cool shit. Like, there's a couple of scenes where he's, like, wielding a staff. And, like, there's a couple of shots in that last fight where he's using the two knives. Where you're like, oh, cool, the whole reason I was like, Duncan is awesome. Like, well, not the whole reason, but like a big part of it was like, oh, this guy can actually sword fight and make these sword fights interesting. And they completely undermine it in this movie with that hyperspeed.
They looked at Endgame and they're like, okay, what are the things people liked? All right, how do we ruin all those things?
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he speaks like a wrestling promo, and it's the weirdest choice. Because again,
he has a broed out Scottish accent.
He looks like Slipknot. He looks like every member of Slipknot.
Right.
They treat him like a demon where he shows up. Like in the first scene, there's that hacking scene with the three screens.
Yeah.
Which I have questions about. And they're like, he's coming. He's not a man. He's like a demon of immortals. And then he shows up and he's like, hey, what's up? And then it's like, what the fuck?
He's like he's just like a Scottish shit kicker. Like he's just a guy you meet at a bar.
They call him the immortal Antichrist. And he makes weird jokes the whole time.
He sings the Queen song.
He does.
He sings Princes of the Universe.
Why does he do that?
Well, no, he doesn't sing Princes of the Universe. He's in the graveyard. He sings Who Wants to Live Forever? Like he sings that. He sings the Queen theme song from the original Highlander.
It's so fucking weird. It's so fucking weird. This movie is... He elevates
this movie,
the movie. That's the thing. The villain elevates the movie.
He does. This movie feels like a bad Resident Evil sequel.
Yeah. It's the effects are like, it's After Effects level. When the guy goes into the office and he's hacking, and the screens came up, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, also, when they show the priest, Giovanni, who has like fucking incredible Flock of Seagulls Albert Wesker hair, he is so clearly standing in front of a green screen.
Right,
like, it's like the most embarrassing thing.
They couldn't film in a church. They're all wearing these glasses, and I have a question about these glasses.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because
lay it
He goes on this. He's talking to them on the screens, and Sid Vicious, business guy, and Cyber Priest are all wearing these rectangular glasses.
That is the perfect way to describe them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all they are. They're wearing these rectangular glasses that are like Google glasses with antennas on it.
Yeah.
All four men are communicating. All four men are looking at these same screens. The guy who's getting hunted by the bad guy is not wearing the glasses.
No, he's just working on a regular computer. The glasses are superfluous.
That's what I was getting to. They're just wearing those, aren't they?
Yeah, they just look cool.
They just like all three of them.
Because they're wearing the glasses to type on computers.
Right.
So they're still looking at a computer screen.
They don't need the glasses. Is the point?
No,
they're not like because when they were showing multiple characters wearing the glasses, I figured they're like plugged in. This is like virtual reality, and they show the screens that are floating in the air, and I'm like, that's how they see the screens. But then the guy without the glasses also sees the screens, so there's no reason for those glasses. Either that or like on set, that one guy was like, I'm not wearing those fucking glasses, and they're like, come on, the movie won't make sense. And he's like, no.
He's like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. I don't want those glasses. It is so weird that fucking Cyber Priest in his glasses.
Cyber Priest who like, okay, so Cyber Priest turns out to be like a bad guy. Like he turns on them.
Yeah.
But it's not really, they don't do the work to build it. Like they just have, business guy like just irrationally hate Cyber Priest the whole movie. And then Cyber Priest turns, so you're like, well, I guess they planted those seeds. Like he hates him for no reason for most of the movie.
Yeah, Cyber Priest just becomes a coward or something. I don't know.
Right, like they get strung up by like Wicker Man cannibals. And like Cyber Priest gets free and he's like, I'm the chosen one. I'm supposed to find the source. And he runs off without cutting the other two free and then just gets his head cut off like unceremoniously.
Those cannibals, they were spinning their wheels at that point.
Sure were.
Yeah. But
they
introduce
Wicker Man cannibals in Act 3 of this film.
I want to go back to the hacking, though. Sure. Are they hacking space? Are they hacking? I think they're hacking an observatory.
We get a lot of space in this movie.
Yeah. Because they're all hacking, and there's these like CG shots of the planets. Right, and then at one point, one of them looks like he's in an observatory. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell if he actually was, because it was all like fading in and out.
I don't know. They hint that the source is like planetary alignment, I guess. They keep showing us space in this movie.
Right. I need to back up again.
Okay. Let's do.
To when the guy's in the office. He's getting chased by the bad guy, the Guardian.
Yes.
This is like the opening inciting incident. And he's the one who's basically, you have to find the source. He gets chased up into this office because, he goes downstairs in this office. He starts to use the elevator. Mm-hmm. And the security guard catches him. So what mm-hmm. does he do? The security guard unloads his gun into this man.
Yes.
He executes him.
Yes.
For trying to use an elevator.
Well, it's the post-apocalypse, man.
All right.
We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, the guy looked totally fine. And well, no, not just that, though. The security guy's like, whoa, stop right there. And the guy turns and goes, wait, no. And he's got his hands up. He is not a threat. And the security guard unloads into him.
Yes.
Because he's a Highlander, he survives. But God damn that security guard.
Well, then he just leaves his body there to, like, travel up the elevator.
You're right, he does.
Uh-huh. There's also a scene, like, in the beginning where, like, they're showing the street where, like, some dude is just stabbing some other guy to death. And, then, like, the narrator, who is Anna Duncan's wife, says there's no law or justice. And as she says that, we see a police car drive up. So I'm like, well, there's clearly some law.
This world. All right. So this is the last Highlander. And it really. The point of the Highlanders.
Okay.
Was to save the world, right? They save it. Well, okay. Not save the world, but like there's been Highlanders before this where there's people like Michael Ironside who are like, when I get the power, I'm going to rule the world. Like there's been that.
Yes. And that was sort of like the impetus for like to prevent the Kurgan in the first one.
Right.
From winning the prize because like, well, he's an evil guy. Like he shouldn't have all the world's knowledge, right. But the prize has changed like that. This movie series is wildly inconsistent too with its mythology, but the Highlander storyline has always been kind of insular. Like it's really about, well, it's just the immortals and their community, and like it's sort of kind of selfish to like seek out the power, I guess. But then also they do come up with reasons, like you mentioned, like in each film. The villain who's trying to claim the prize is like, well, we can't let that guy have it because he's an asshole and he'll like corrupt the world with the power.
But ultimately, they've made the world a worse place.
Yeah, it's still the apocalypse. Like, I don't know what they're fucking doing. Like, maybe it would make more sense if we'd seen the series, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. Like, it's the world sucks. The Highlander world is garbage.
It's dumb. Yeah, it's a garbage pile.
Like there should be only none. Right?
I did like when the Guardian said there can be only me.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of dope. Yeah, that's like a cool way to twist that saying, that trope from the films.
Oh my God.
We're
still at
movie,
the beginning, aren't we?
Well, I want to talk about the ending.
Okay, I have stuff to talk about in the middle as well, but sure.
All right, well, sure. Well, you can hit your stuff in the middle then.
All right, it's like recalling a dream is like I'm just trying to get through it all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what was the Sky Temple?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There was like a mysterious, maybe it wasn't in the sky. No, it definitely wasn't in the sky because one of them took a cab there. There was a mysterious temple with the, like the fat guy.
Oh yeah, the monks. No, that's where they needed to go to learn the coordinates where the source was.
Sure. I just love that one of them took a cab.
Yeah.
Just took Why a cab not? To a mysterious Dracula temple.
Sure.
And then they need to go
Who
in.
Gives so a shit?
They drive their truck through the temple and they are going to fight the monks.
Right. They get to the temple. The monks are like, no, you can't come in. And they're like, God damn. Like, for some reason, that stops these immortal guys.
Right.
And then Duncan looks up and sees Anna climbing in the window. He's like, well, that's my wife climbing in the window. So let's just drive a truck through the door.
Yeah. It's a mess. And then the weird bloated zombie monk, what is that?
That was the guy who was unworthy, who they show us there was a team of immortal. Well, not actually, I don't even know if they were immortals or not. But there was a group of guys like, you know, centuries ago who tried to find the source. They got to the source. The guardian then was killing them all off. And he selfishly grabbed the source, like ignoring his friends.
Right.
So he got turned into that big fat vampire from Blade. And then another one of his friends got turned into the guardian.
This movie's terrible.
This movie is very bad.
And then they're like, what do you get in exchange? And he goes, release.
Yeah.
Which I just assumed meant a hand job. But
and they never,
I guess they might
they never
have
pay
wanted
that
to kill
off.
Him.
Yeah,
they don't.
I cannot wait to talk about the ending. But let's continue.
Okay. Well, I wanted to get to, because then Slipknot shows up.
He does.
And one of my favorite moments was Hacker Punk,
Sid Vicious,
sees the demon man and goes, I'll take care of this.
Right. Like I said aloud, I was like, sweetie, you can't handle him.
Yeah, I was like, no, like, you won't.
He's going to fucking kill you.
Yeah. And then the old guy, the human, the mortal goes after
the,
him.
The mortal.
Him.
Like, he's a guy that's mortal.
Yeah. He
I
shoots.
I don't think my version had the text that told you whether or not people were mortal or immortal.
Oh, okay. Mine did.
I had a DVD copy. It's actually the one that you bought. But the quality was very, very bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great in my version either. Well, we'll get to it, but this is the first Highlander that didn't go to theaters. It's a TV movie. I think they wanted it to go to theaters.
Yeah.
They imagined it, and it just didn't work out. When the old guy
distribution.
Shoots
Slipknot. I can imagine a distributor looking at this movie and being like, no, we're not putting this in theaters.
The old guy shoots Slipknot with the shotgun.
He does.
And he yells, ouch! Which, I don't know, I thought was fucking delightful. Like, that's the level this bad guy is. You know what he sounds like?
What does he sound like?
The guy at the beginning of Aqua Teen, the scientist. Behold! That guy. He has a similar voice.
Yeah.
It's a cartoonish voice. And then from there, they go to the Cannibal Island, where they're lighting a businessman on fire in a shipyard.
For some reason. There's some gangsters on like a dock that are doing a tire burn on a guy.
Yeah. My question is, what is the guy in the suit? What was his day?
I don't know.
Was he going to work on the Cannibal Island? What required him to wear a suit on the Cannibal Island?
I assumed he
was kidnapped, but
I didn't
if
pay,
they kidnapped
I
him from a
pay
boat.
Close enough attention to
okay.
the film to tell you why that guy was being subjugated to a tire fire.
No, the
but
film doesn't tell you. They go on boats to this island, and they're clearly not on boats that can go long journeys, and the island is clearly just a shipyard
that they got
to film at. And they're doing a tire burn on a man in a business suit. And nothing we see on that island shows that there's business going on. And he's like an old man. He's like in his 50s, maybe 60s.
Yeah, he's
so
an older
like,
guy, yeah.
Did they get him off a boat? Because what boat is he on where he's wearing a suit and tie and doing business? It's very strange.
Yeah.
They put a cigarette in his mouth and they go, you want to smoke? And then they... The heroes attack them and kill them, and the Princes of the Universe theme comes on.
It does, yeah, after they all explode. And this is one of the only times we actually get to see Duncan do stuff. Like, he wields a bow, like a staff, in this scene, and it's pretty cool.
It is. But it's unearned. That song is unearned.
It is super unearned.
Yeah, and we're nearing the end. They raw dog in the woods.
They do.
They're in like a nice cabin now. It's like a fever dream. They spend so much time.
I just have images of this.
Yeah. Well, that's when Sid Vicious dies. They're at the cabin.
Sid Vicious gets hyper murdered.
He does. The Slipknot shows up. He acts super fast and he slashes him to death.
He just slashes him to death. And because there's the closer you get to the source, your immortality goes away. So he dies right. just of his wounds.
Which like felt like a line that they ADR'd in when they realized it didn't make sense that he died. Because the bad guy leaves and you hear him as he's leaving going like, your immortality is drifting away, ha ha, like something like that. Like he explains it really quick.
Right, it's dumb because he so thoroughly houses Sid Vicious that it's like, well, he could have just cut his head off. Like,
right.
Like it doesn't make sense why he
doesn't.
No,
it's like they shot the scene.
Yeah.
And then they were watching it, and they're like, wait, that doesn't make sense, does it? Let's get that guy in here again. Let's have him say a line.
Yeah, I feel like maybe his team of guys wasn't originally immortal, and that like that idea came about in editing, maybe? I don't know. I just assumed, like at first, I just assumed they were all like Joe. Because like in the previous movie, they introduced the idea, which I guess is from the show, that there's like a guild of humans who help the immortals. So I just assumed all these guys were humans at first. And then they make it clear that they're actually immortals for some reason. Like, I don't get it.
there's not much to get.
This movie is a fucking trash fire. It's so bad.
Absolute mess.
It's so bad.
We're nearing the end. The cannibals show up for some reason. They get
abducted by Wicker Man cannibals.
Yep. And then they get out.
They escape.
Yep. Nothing.
Businessman leaves and we never see him again.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't. Isn't he the one that's like, nah, bro, you're the one, and leaves?
He says that, and then he gets on a horse and leads the cannibals away, and we never see him again.
We never know what happened to him.
I guess he got killed by the cannibals, but like, we never see him again.
Well, this movie ends very abruptly.
Well, this movie, oh God, this is what I've been waiting for.
Okay, well, okay, so they get to the source, and it's like a is the source from space? Is it like a comet hitting?
The source is like I said, it seems to be about like planetary alignment. There's something cosmic about it, definitely. Yeah. And I don't know if that's a thing.
It's the planet from the second one.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. I don't know if that's something they went into in the series or not, but it's clearly something cosmic. That's
looking
fine.
Into the writing of it, I'm gonna say no. It seemed like they made it up just for the movie.
Okay, that's fine. But I mean, anyway. Like, I wouldn't object to them suddenly injecting like a cosmic element to Highlander, because how else do you explain people who can't die for no fucking reason?
Yeah,
that's fine. I don't care. It's whatever. It's just like a fantasy thing. He fights the Guardian. It's bad.
It's not just bad. It's hilariously bad.
It's hilariously bad. And then he does like a turbo windmill around the Guardian to like bury him in the sand. It's the stupidest thing ever.
It's like a Mountain Dew commercial or something where it's like in the 90s.
Yeah. It's like a Red Bull commercial.
Does the Dew. Yeah. And then he goes around him so fast that he buries him in the ground.
Yep.
At one point they throw sand at each other, like mystical sand. Mm-hmm. And so the mortal, this goth Slipknot guy, is just buried to his shoulders in the dirt. That's how he's defeated.
Yep.
And then he goes to kill him, and he goes, "Do it, you immortal fuck."
Yep.
Which is great.
The movie's only F-bomb.
Yeah, and then he doesn't.
No.
He's like, "I'm not going to kill you," and the guy explodes into light for some reason.
Yeah. Don't know why. We don't check back in with Fat Vampire, by the way.
No, we don't.
So what happens after the guy explodes is they show us a montage of everything we've already seen in the movie with Anna explaining to us what happened.
Yeah.
And then we see a shot of Duncan and Anna in a white psych, which, if you guys don't know, it's just a completely white space. Just like talking about their baby that they're now able to have. So it's 100,000% obvious that they ran out of money.
Yes.
And they couldn't film the finale.
Oh yeah. Well,
that's the thing I wanted to point out is that it's the movie ends in a montage of scenes you've already seen in the movie with a narrator explaining to you what happened. Yeah. It's like, oh,
I think we had different versions. God. Did your version end with a shot of the baby?
Yes, of the baby, like in utero. Yes.
Yeah, it's like the ending of 2001.
Yep.
Did Anna turn into a helicopter?
No.
And by turn into a helicopter, I mean, yeah, I bet this did happen. Where after he defeats him, she puts out her arms and starts spinning in place. And then, like, flies in the air.
That did not happen in the version I watched.
Remember, like, in Too Many Cooks when the woman turns into the superhero by, like, spinning?
Yeah, that's Wonder Woman.
It's Wonder Woman. Thank you. It's like, but I guess I think of Too Many Cooks because it's done badly. And it's that in this. It's like she puts out her arms and starts, like, spinning. And then, like, the after effects her spinning. And then she sort of floats up, and then they cut to that scene, and it is fucking wild.
They took that right out of the version I watched.
They're also like naked in that.
They are naked in the white psych. Yes.
Yeah. It is, my God. The spinning again, where he attacks them with the two knives, and they start whirring like a helicopter. It's such a bad effect. It's like a comedic effect.
Yeah.
It's like an Austin Powers bit. This movie is terrible.
My God. Like,
I mean, I was entertained.
Like,
but
all of the, it's wild that all of the Highlanders run out of money.
Yeah. Well,
and this one, like, we couldn't find much. I don't know what you're going to bring to the table in the Highlander section.
Shall we get into it?
Well, yeah, there's not much about the making of this movie online, but this is the one that most nakedly it's like we ran out of money.
Yes.
In the end, because the ending is a fucking narrated montage of scenes we've already seen in the movie.
Yeah, it is very obvious. Well, getting into Highlander, Tom, did you look up Howlander? Sorry. Did you look up the director?
No.
Good. The director is Brett Leonard. Do you recognize that name?
No.
He is the director of Lawnmower Man and Virtuosity.
Okay,
that's what we're dealing with.
Virtuosity is a 5-star legendary all time great.
I know
picture, so.
That's why I'm outraged.
Yeah,
I can't believe he did this. Virtuosity is great. It was written by Stephen Kelvin Watkins. It's his only credit, and then a man named Mark Bradley. It's also his only credit. But that's just because it's a pseudonym for the writer Joel Soyson, who did Highlander Endgame. And apparently didn't want his name attached.
Didn't want his name attached to this. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, David Abramowitz, who wrote the TV show, also did a script pass on this. He also didn't want his name on the final version, and it was taken off.
Sure.
It feels like the producers, they kept trying to do versions. They tapped the original director briefly, and he wanted to do a version where it was like
the original director of what?
Highlander, sorry.
Oh, Russell Mulcahy?
Yeah, he wanted to do a version where it was like a prequel, and they're all like, nah, let's not do that.
Yeah, that's the right instinct. Let's not do a prequel.
I don't know, because this was not the right instinct.
This wasn't like, either, but
the
like,
producers kept,
definitely don't do a prequel.
What it sounded like, the producers kept like panicked, like going through scripts. It was a version, Joel Soyson's version, originally apparently featured Duncan MacLeod living in a gas station with a monkey, with a pet monkey, where he wore a cowboy boots and a cowboy hat.
Yes, give me that version.
I know.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's a mess. That's really what I got from the making of. Is there some interviews with what's his name, Adrian Paul?
Yeah, that's Duncan.
Who plays Duncan? He said that they didn't have the entire script before they started shooting, which, you know, makes sense. Yeah, he said the visuals started off really good. The story started off good, but then it fizzled out because I don't think thought was put into the end result. So yeah, basically they started shooting without a script.
Yeah.
Or without a finished script. And as they went, they were like, I don't know, a montage.
Yeah, I guess a montage and then a baby.
Yeah. And that's the one.
We're not, my God.
Remember when Slipknot guy was standing in the trees, like squeezed between trees?
He was, yes.
It was adorable. That's it. That's all I looked up. That's all I could find. This movie is, you know, no one wants to talk about it. No one who made it. It's just a big embarrassment, this movie.
This movie, my God, I can't even, I can't even put together words to like describe how bad this film is. I don't think it's as bad as Highlander 2, because Highlander 2 so completely undermines and retcons everything about the series to make it unwatchable, and also it's bad.
Yeah.
But like this movie is this movie is like a bunch of kids trying to make like a Street Fighter sequel.
Yeah.
With like $500 and their friends.
Yeah, and I guess
this movie sucks.
I guess I want to bring this, since we don't have much behind the scenes, to a larger conversation. We have one more episode after this, but it's for the cartoon.
Right, the anime, the Highlander anime.
Yeah. So this is the final Highlander. This was supposed to be part of a trilogy. This was supposed to be the start of a trilogy.
My God.
Yeah, and they were like, never mind.
That definitely didn't work.
So this is, for the time being, the final live-action Highlander, probably the final ever of this canon, of this world. They might reboot it.
Right. Well, there's been a reboot that's been in discussion for about 10 years now. Ryan Reynolds was attached at one point. Who knows if that's still going to happen, but...
What's your overall impression with this series?
Highlander seems like a good idea that could never quite make a good movie.
Yep. I think this... It's
like they definitely, once they picked up Adrian Paul as Duncan, and I may need to watch the series, but like definitely when they picked him up, they had something. Like, okay, let's retool the fantasy. This guy can actually do sword fighting and some martial arts, so we have like a guy, like a lead guy who can make entertaining fight scenes. It seems like they just never could get the money together to tell a good story in this universe. It's a universe that has potential, and they just were never able to get it to come together.
I think it's the mythology problem. I think, having watched five of these, it's reminding me more and more of the Terminator franchise. It's a different problem with the Terminator franchise. Obviously, they have money.
I think it's a very similar problem.
Well, I mean, like, they're different. Like, the running out of money stuff is different. They look cheap.
Yeah.
But it's the same overall issue, where I look at both franchises and go, you should have stopped decades ago.
Right. Like, the first Highlander movie, I really enjoy.
Yeah,
me too. As a gritty steampunk fantasy movie that stands on its own. Like, it's self-contained.
Yep.
And if you wanted to spin it out into a larger narrative, there's room for that, but they were never able to pull it off.
No.
And they got close. And I haven't watched the series. The series might do that.
Yeah.
But none of the movies they made were able to pull it off. And that's a shame, because, like I said, they did, like, when we watched Endgame, we were both like, wow, fucking Duncan's awesome. They should have just made movies with him.
But it's like false hope. It's false hope.
Yeah. They were never able to pull it off in a movie.
And every single movie got less and less of a budget as they went.
Yep.
It's this thing where, like, nobody seems to enjoy making them. The producers have no idea what each movie needs to be. They seem to, despite knowing, you know, in advance that they're going to make a sequel, they seem to be caught off guard by them every single time.
How do you know? Like, this... It's not like the public is like chomping at the bit for a Highlander sequel. Right. Like you can think about this movie, guys. Yeah,
no one's bursting through their door and being like, all right, we need a Highlander sequel in 1 year. Go. You know, it's just, there's no pressure. Mm-hmm. So it's like, for the betterment of these people's lives, I feel like I want to go back in time and be like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to make more Highlanders. It's not going to make anybody very happy, and no. It's going to disappoint most people.
Yes.
But what's done is done. And of course, if people do like these movies, I guess good for them. They're not hurting anybody, but I can't figure them out for the life of me. I can't figure out the appeal of them. They're mostly boring. They're more boring than they're anything else.
Right. They're mostly bad.
Yeah.
I like the first one.
Yeah, if they were action vehicles, that'd be one thing, but they aren't really. There's been a few moments of action.
We only get that really in Endgame.
Yeah.
With Duncan. It's because they finally, like, if you're going to build an action franchise, maybe build it around a guy that can do action.
Yeah. Going back to the Terminator thing, it's focusing on the wrong thing. They made Terminator 2, and then everybody's like, all right, we got to expand the mythology. And by the time Terminator Genesis showed up, we're like, okay, everybody has a time machine now. We have a time machine here and here. And she went back time there. And it's like, you forgot they were just action movies, you jackasses. And this feels the same way, where it's mostly just people talking about the mythology that's supposed to just be the bullshit between action.
Correct.
And it's like, no, this is the wrong part. Just show some awesome sword fighting.
Right, and you have a guy that can do it now.
Yeah.
That's like the most frustrating thing about this particular installment, is that the action is filmed so poorly, and it's like, you showed us in the previous film, and I assume in the series, that this actor can actually sword fight and do martial arts and do cool shit. You're not showing us any of that in this movie. Like, why are you like yada-yadding over the sword fighting, which should be the cool shit.
It's so fucking weird. I guess they just didn't have the money. Like, he can sword fight, but maybe the bad guy couldn't, and maybe they didn't have stuntmen, you know,
who can say? Like, it may have been a directorial decision where they're like, well, we have to show it from X, Y, and Z standpoint.
Right.
Like, who can fucking say?
It's a mess.
At this point, it's a huge mess. Like, that stuff really matters. Like, one of the things I really liked about The Witcher, the Netflix series, is in the very first episode they have a fucking awesome sword fighting scene.
Right.
Where Henry Cavill like really learned sword fighting to pull off this scene.
Right, because that's what they know people want to see.
Right, because it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, now, show us that. It's a movie about immortal swordsmen, and you're going to fucking gloss over the sword fighting?
Yeah.
You assholes?
This movie, this series, if you want to watch it, you know who watches it?
It has a massive identity crisis, but yes, tell me who you hope watches it.
I want J.J. Abrams to watch it, and I want to be like, this is what happens, J.J. This is what happens when you don't have a fucking plan.
Yeah.
I guess I could just show him Star Wars.
Just make him just show him Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. But it's the same symptom. It's the same result.
This hideous dog shit is what happens when you don't have a fucking plan, you ass.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like they're fighting over scripts. They're constantly changing the canon. Every new person involved is like, "Well, I want to do it about this." And they're like, "Okay." And it just fizzles out. It just fizzles out. And Highlander was never a big series to begin with.
No.
But for the fan base, I imagine the people who are legitimate fans and was watching the series, this was a big fart disappointment piece of shit movie where it's just like, oh, fuck. It's a baby? A baby's the one? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, series over. Great. Like, it's so depressing.
Right. This must, like, I can't imagine watching 5 seasons or however many, I think it's about that for the series.
Right.
And then watching this goddamn movie, like, this is such a, like you said, it's such a fart. Like, this movie is just
it's
like,
it's a big wet fart.
It's so bad.
And it comes from the director of Virtuosity, a movie I genuinely enjoy.
I love Virtuosity.
It's so good. Denzel is so good.
Two Oscar winners. Denzel and Russell Crowe.
Hamming it up. Russell Crowe dressed like the Mask, just going nuts.
Just meeting out the hamboniest of hambone performances.
Oh, so good. Let's go watch Virtuosity.
We should watch. I have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah. We could
watch Virtuosity tonight.
Okay.
We could do that.
This movie exhausts me.
This movie is bad.
I do.
The Highlander series exhausted me.
Yep. What's funny is we have one more movie left, but I don't feel the same dread for it because it's an entirely new thing.
I feel like in an anime, like all bets are off, right? You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. This could be great. It could be great. It could be terrible. If we were watching another sequel for the next episode, I would be dreading it. So I'm glad it's not that.
Well, I feel like the anime could go very wrong.
Sure.
Because it could make the mistake that the thing that people like is the mythology. So it could be like, you know, 90% animated characters talking about the mythology and like 10% action, where it's like, well, no, this is a movie about immortal swordsmen. Fucking have them have cool sword fights.
I'm hoping
asses.
They don't. I'm hoping
you
since
assholes.
Since in an anime, they can draw whatever they want, and therefore we can see whatever they want. So hopefully it'll be more creative. I don't know. This series is exhausting. It has drained the life from me.
This movie was bad.
Yeah, I think I'm not a Highlander fan.
I was so upset because I liked Endgame.
Yeah, that's one. That's one out of the whole series. I like the first one.
I like the first one, and I liked Endgame.
Yeah, I don't even remember the third one.
Well, the third one, like, Mario Van Peebles was having a blast. Like, he was fun.
All right, I don't remember.
But, like, the action was bad and boring.
Which one was that? That was the Sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there's, like, he's, like, ancient. Yeah. Yeah, Mario Van Peebles, I don't know, that one passed right through me. I don't remember that. I barely remember Endgame. I only remember Endgame because of the fighting. The quickening, I mean, I'll never forget.
Yeah, he has a fucking incredible fight with Donnie Yen, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah, like, Donnie Yen's in Endgame. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, he and Duncan have like an amazing fight.
Right.
So it's like, oh shit, this is what the series should be. Is this.
So if we were to rate these. Highlander, I assume, is the best.
Highlander is the best, yeah.
Is it then Highlander Endgame?
I think it's then Highlander Endgame, yeah. And then Highlander 3.
Oh, see, that's where I disagree with you.
Oh, shit.
I'm giving it to Highlander 2.
Highlander 2 is one of the biggest pieces of shit ever made.
Yes, but it's entertaining. Highlander 3.
No, it's not.
I disagree. Highlander 2
is a corrosive poison.
It's got fucking, what's his name? Michael Ironside with long hair
and
driving
John C.
a subway. Yeah. Grabbing John C. McGinley's balls and throwing him out a window.
Crushing his balls.
Yeah.
He crushes his balls.
That is at least entertaining to watch because of how batshit it is. Highlander 3 is, I found, just incredibly boring.
It's pretty boring. And it has, remember, it had like a shockingly graphic sex scene.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure I saw both actors' assholes in that scene.
And then the Source.
Didn't need that. Didn't need that.
Yeah. I'd actually put the Source almost on par with 3 because it at least had that one villain who was really keeping my attention.
I would put the Source. The Source for me is second to last. To me, the very last is Highlander 2 because I think Highlander 2 is a big fat piece of shit.
Oh, it's so entertaining.
I hate it.
All right. Well, that's our rating then.
Like, at least like the idea of Michael Ironside is fun, but he's not as fun as Mario Van Peebles.
I had more fun in
practice.
I don't know.
And that movie is such a schizophrenic piece of shit that, like, I can't. Right. I cannot abide. I do not abide Highlander 2.
I mean, they're all a blur. I don't remember the Source.
They're all very bad.
Yes, they're all very bad.
Like, Highlander, the first one.
That movie's fine.
I think that movie is good. Like, I think that movie is good. It's unique. It's such a fresh idea, like, to do a cyberpunk fantasy movie.
Yeah.
And it's so self-contained. Like, it shouldn't have had any sequels. It really shouldn't have.
Yeah. Do you want to know what the sequel to, or the plot to Highlander: The Search for Vengeance is?
I don't know what that is, and I don't give a fuck.
It's the anime.
Oh, that's the anime?
Yeah. It's about Colin McLeod.
Colin?
Colin McLeod.
Who the fuck is Colin McLeod?
It's he's in the Roman Britain in 125 AD, and he's fighting the Roman Empire.
Okay.
I have some great news for you, Tom.
Okay.
The movie's 85 minutes.
That's perfect news.
Yeah.
They could get like an Assassin's Creed vibe in there and share like Highlanders through history. That's fine. I dig that.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll fucking
I don't need to watch them taking taxis to monasteries.
That was so silly.
Fuck you, movie.
Fuck you, movie. Oh my God. Are we done?
I think we're done. Jesus Christ. Has never been a movie that has a movie franchise. And again, the series may be different. Like, people really liked the series, and I think that's why Highlander is still a thing, is because people really liked the series. But as a movie franchise, I don't think there's ever been one that has more misunderstood what its fan base enjoyed about the franchise.
Yes, this is one of the biggest failures in cinema history, is they started with a quaint enough film that people liked, and they just took that film and they mutilated it and they tore it apart and they stretched its guts out into five pieces and was like, here, eat these, you fucks. Like,
20 years of shotgunning diarrhea into the faces of the people that made the original film. Yeah. Like, it's my God.
What,
like,
a fucking mess.
My God. Every single Highlander sequel is bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's some that are less bad, and that's why we have our ranking system, but they're all fucking bad.
No, I never want to watch any of them.
No!
Yeah.
They're terrible.
They're fucking garbage.
My God.
I'm so glad it's over. I don't, again, I don't count this final one. In terms of the live action series, we're done. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
We've escaped.
Yeah.
We never have to look back. Yeah. No more live action. Holy shit. Thanks, James.
Yeah, man.
Thanks to James Rainey for making us watch The Highlanders.
This movie is like an exercise in terribility.
I should say, I believe when James Rainey gave us this assignment, he hadn't seen the movies himself either. This was like an experiment. This isn't someone who's like a big Highlander fan being like, I want you guys to experience this. It's someone had to watch these movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those,
might as well be us.
Yeah, because no one was watching them. So, I don't know.
They're all very bad. They're all kind of hard to find, and they're all very bad.
Yeah, reporting back to you, James, on the Highlander films, bad. They're bad.
They're extremely bad.
They're extremely bad. And people shouldn't watch them. Yeah, that's it. Right?
I have nothing else to say. My soul is depleted.
All right. Let's go lie down.
Fucking.
Everybody go lie down.
I mean, normally this is where we do plugs, but like, fucking no. Bye. Just bye. I can't do anything right now.
Bye, everybody.